right, all right, all right. Welcome to another thrilling season of Truth and Reconciliation. It's the Pellwood Fantasy Football League podcast. He's Peter Elwood. I'm Seth Martin. It is great to have you with us. Peter, how are you, sir?
We're right on the doorstep of the season. I am excited to be here, ready to go.
Well, you look great for it and prepared for it. Your hair's a little longer than I've seen it as of late. Are you rocking a new like preseason do?
Yeah. Hit the road in the off season, and let it breathe a little bit. So no,
you may want to consider like aerating. I don't know.
That sounds painful. I'm gonna ruin my aerate. Yeah. Aerate my scalp. Yeah. My hair status is always a function of my time and laziness. Mm-hmm. Time availability and laziness. So it just means less time for personal grooming, more time to focus on fantasy football research.
Fair enough.
That's the trade-off we're making right now.
Well, good posturing. I'm sure most of us might have believed that statement. When I think about fantasy football prep, I've been thinking about my own prep and comparing it to a few years past, and I think it used to be insane. Like, I think I used to do the degree of preparation and like mock drafts that I was doing and the data I was recording from each mock draft as if that mattered, like going into our lobby. It used to be insane, and now I'm kind of like, I just need to be aware of who's where, and I need to know first string, second string. I want to know handcuffs, and I want to know like shares. I want to know what's happening in the backfield, and like it's pretty basic now. I feel like is that a sign that I have phoned it in, or am I just at a level where I know what matters? Like, help me reconcile that I'm not spending 100 hours getting ready for this draft, Pete.
I hope you can feel better about yourself that you're not spending 100 hours getting ready for the draft. I think it's a sign of maturity.
Maybe that's
which might be maturity in that other life things have happened. Like, congratulations on having a baby this offseason.
Thanks so much.
The best offseason news that we could have is that you have been fruitful and multiplied and are now raising a new fantasy football enthusiast in your household. I'm sure there will be many games you get to watch together this season, and that's going to be awesome. So I think that, with that maturity, with the additional demands on time, the fantasy football research, it doesn't become less important. It becomes more focused.
There it is.
So now you are more focused on your fantasy football research to think about that which really matters and weed out the rest.
Yeah.
And for me, sometimes I overthink it, where all the prep, it just gets me all up in my head. And then like I kind of freeze up a little bit on the actual draft day, and then,
wait, what's my plan?
Like, when things don't go according to the plan, then it's harder. It's like almost harder to adapt. And so I think being more high level, being more general with things, allows you to be a little more flexible as well. And I think we've seen that work well for some of our league members before, where they'll just, hey, I'm going to draft from my phone on the fly, and somehow like that works just as well as doing all the research, if not better. So, we're trying to find balance in all areas of life, including fantasy football research.
That's right. And well, I can tell you that I appreciate the approach of our league, because there is a sense of we're all kind of at the fine tuning level of expertise. It's not like the learning curve for each of us is so steep every single year that it's make or break. Now, there's usually, the laws of average, there's usually somebody who bombs somewhere for some reason at the draft, just like there's somebody who just clearly head and shoulders stands out. I think that for the most part, our league is just so tight and narrow on the curve that at this point, it comes down to the actual conduction of the draft. Like, we all know who we want. We all know generally which sleepers are worth targeting. And, depending on your keeper selection, you may have some strategic choices that you need to make, because you're wrapping your play around a position already filled or the strength that's in that position already. But for the most part, it does not seem like there is as much mystery, I think, inside everybody's playbook. Like, I feel like in years past, it was always, what's he going to do? What's he going to do? What's he going to do? Like, what kind of play are they bringing to it? And now it's like, well, we are all here to get the best players for the least amount of money possible, and maybe flex our strategy a little bit around based off of our cards, what we already have in pocket. Would you agree that that's kind of the synopsis of where our draft is at, or do you have a different take?
I think you see similar themes every year from each team's draft where, Charles finishes the draft and you're like, yep, that looks like a Charles team.
Yeah.
Like and it's not like that for everybody, but I think there's a pretty consistent approach for everyone each year. And
running backs, Charles.
No, I mean, Charles is going to try to get five of the top six players available and then like check out for 2 hours. Yeah.
Let it ride.
Yeah. and then he always ends up finding someone for a dollar that you're like, oh, of course he like that guy ends up being a top 30 wide receiver. Yeah. Like why was he still there for a dollar or whatever, so that's gonna happen. And it just keeps happening every year. And so I think there are definitely consistent themes for everybody. And we did kind of the first glimpse into strategy and approach here in just a couple hours. We did keepers locking, and that'll give us our first bit of information. I think they're probably pretty much set, but I gotta wait until we actually pass the deadline to divulge the information to everyone. And then, yeah, man, we're just 3 days away from the draft, so it is coming up fast.
Yep. Well, this is we can never really agree. I think it's our 15th year or maybe 16th.
I forget even more. I think
we've been around a dozen plus years.
And it's like dog years now where I think it multiplies every year, or it might actually be like the 13th year, but it feels like 15 now. Maybe
I don't have a tendency to exaggerate when I'm excited. But the the way that we have evolved as a league, the way that our team members, our league members have stepped up, those that have kind of climbed this upper echelon that we like to hold ourselves at when it comes to the value for how we conduct our league. This of course, by the way, I'm setting up the honorable mention of Auction League is best. And I am just really, really glad that that's the platform that we're on, that I'm looking forward to Saturday from a technical standpoint, from an execution standpoint, and I'm looking forward to seeing who's going to be available after the keeper run today. What are you looking forward to most about the draft this year? Is there anything unique about it? And what are you looking forward to this season?
I'm looking forward to redemption for myself personally. Looking back on last season, it was a bad year for me. It was also a bad year for Brock. This upcoming season is our 15th season. I just went back to look at the history. It is going to be our 15th season. Yes. This is the first time we ever had a team that went winless. Brock didn't win a single matchup last year. I think I started 0-7 or something.
Trick we've discussed that is not easy to do statistically.
No, and I think I started off 0-7 or something like that. And then I'm also looking for a little bit of redemption just for the lead, the season in general, because last year, because of the unfortunate situation with Damar Hamlin from the Buffalo Bills, it kind of put a damper on the fantasy playoffs and the championship week especially. So we decided to do a split champions. We split it. First place between Chris Windsor and Jared Fleming, and we split third place between you and Charles, and congratulations on that, by the way. But no one really wants to end in a tie, so I'm looking forward to a new shot at the season all the way around. And just prayers that we don't have any more unfortunate near death experience type situations on the field again, because the injuries are part of the game, but when it's serious life at risk, it really puts a whole different shade on the game of fantasy football. And it's a great opportunity to create community and have fun together, but then when something like that happens, it puts things in perspective, and it's like, what are we really doing here when these men are risk are basically risking their lives so that we can watch some decimal places move on a screen on Sunday afternoons, it does kind of take away a little bit of the joy of it. So yeah. I'm hopeful for a return to just the full unadulterated joy of famous football and
let's go back to dehumanizing people like we're used to every Sunday.
No, it's just like, you know, better safety and so that, they're enjoying themselves while we get to enjoy the game as well.
I'm absolutely with you, and you're right. At the end of the day, that's why it's called fantasy football. And our inability to suspend the fantasy for the sake of somebody's livelihood would reflect poorly on us. And so I am glad that everybody flexed last year. It is a cruddy, anticlimactic finish to the playoffs. Like you tell me congratulations for third, and I'm kind of like, well, in as much that I was redeeming the season prior, where I had to save my keeper because of my last place condition, I am glad that I am once again an incumbent. However, the third place is almost, you know, participation for playoffs as opposed to earning a spot there. And the same with the Cousin Bowl. You know, we were looking forward to that matchup in a unique way. It's a pretty cool narrative towards the end of the season that we didn't really get to capitalize on. So I agree. I'm looking forward to seeing what new stories come out this year as a result of what will hopefully be a safe and a very enjoyable season ahead. That being said, niceties aside, so going into the draft, we are unfortunately, with life everywhere, we're not getting together in person this year. We are hosting online. We are looking forward to maybe celebrating our 16th year in person, and maybe can plan accordingly, but much grace from me, given that I'm also one with a newborn that has the flex as a good thing for family. But I will be missing out seeing you guys. I'll be missing out being in person, drafting in person. There's an intensity in the room that's fun and shared and communal. I'll be missing the opportunity to golf or barbecue or poker or whatever it else was we were going to do. But I know the spirit of our draft will be maintained. Presuming everybody is there and online with strong internets and a good night's sleep. Cough, cough.
Yeah. And one thing I wanted to mention with this upcoming season is that we did have one rule change this offseason. The hotly debated ability to trade auction draft dollars has been shot down by a surprising majority. We had 8 votes come in and 7 voted against it, which did catch me by surprise. I'm not gonna mourn the loss of it. I think I abstained from the vote overall. I was only gonna cast my vote if it mattered, and it ended up not mattering. So from a logistical perspective, I am happy that we don't have to worry about that anymore, because it's just one more thing to keep track of and do manually. So this season's draft, we will have different draft budgets by team, where we've got 5 teams who will have over $200 and 4 teams who will have under $200. And so it'll be the last time we have that added wrinkle to the draft. And so that'll be interesting to see how that plays out with one last shot at it. And then next year, everyone will be all squared in at $200.
Until we vote again.
they'll feel new again to go back to a level playing field with the draft next year.
Back to communism. So question. I appreciate, and we have talked the merits of tradable auction dollars to death, both in our chat and on the podcast in season past. But I am curious to ask you, Pete, not about the votes for it being a yay or nay in our league, but I'm curious about your feelings about not resetting this year. I made mine clear already. I'm for the continuance. I feel like it's a package deal. Like we ran the play last year, but its impact is this year, and you can't divide those two things. That's the whole package. But I'm curious about your thoughts about it as our commissioner. Did you struggle with it either way? Were you tempted to hit the nuclear option and just go, all right, kaboom, even budgets this year? What are you feeling about it?
My feeling about it is that the two people who raised it as, hey, maybe we should go back to everyone having $200 to start this year, are the two teams who traded away the most last year and made it to the fantasy championship.
Shocker.
And so it's kind of like I assumed they were joking. I hope they were joking, because that's a you want to have your cake and eat it too kind of situation. Yeah. Where hey, I traded away all my auction dollars. I made the fantasy championship partially because I traded away all of my auction dollars. So we get to start the season with everyone having the same auction dollars, right? So, that was a non-starter, you must be joking type of proposition in my book. And I'm pretty sure it was said more. It's like when you ask your parents for something where you know the answer is going to be no, but you might as well ask it just in case it's a yes. I mean, right?
Maybe they'll laugh. Maybe you'll die.
You never know. Right. But hey, if they say no and that's what you're expecting, no harm done, right? Then match your expectations. But if they say yes, oh man, jackpot!
Still got it.
Yahtzee.
Nice.
It's like, hey, can I go over to Seth's house tonight? Yeah, I know I was there last night, but can I go again
Tuesday
tonight?
And it's a school night.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, okay.
Yeah, sure, right. Why not? Okay.
Whoa.
All right.
Cream soda, baby. So how is your greatest cheerleader these days? And I know that in my house, as the fantasy football season approaches, the degree of encouragement and inspiration I feel from my wife just goes through the roof. Like, she's like, hey, what are you doing with your life? Make sure that you're upstairs studying for the greatest fantasy football. I've got the kid. Trust me, this is, you need to go and lead our family the way that you see fit. And I'm 100% behind. That's the tone here, obviously.
Right.
How's it in your house?
When I told her that, hey, we're not going to be able to do the draft in person this year, she got this big smile on her face, and she's like, I'm sorry. And she's like,
what?
And she said, and now I'm sorry because I'm smiling, and like, this news makes me happy, but I really am sorry for you because I know you enjoy it, and it was a good time, and you want to go, but so she is still happy for me, but also much happier when I am not as distracted away from responsibilities as husband and father and whatever else is going on. So
my wife just kind of read me the riot, and I said, hey, so it looks like this isn't going to happen in person. And she went, well, it probably wasn't going to happen for you in person anyway. And I was like, what? So apparently she was just storing up the, what the heck are you thinking?
man. Yeah, but I think overall it's worked out better for me. Just like, as soon as you know anything about fantasy football coming up, just like, put it out there early, rip the band-aid off, set those expectations early, and plan for it, put it on the calendar, whatever, because if it's like a late surprise,
the help we can get, fellas.
Yeah, if it's a late surprise, it doesn't go so well. No. So it's just like, hey, I've got a draft coming up on Wednesday night next week, and Saturday morning, and the following Tuesday. Mm-hmm. And it's like, yeah, that sounds like a lot, but just rip the band-aid and
do it a month ahead. Hey, just so you know, fantasy football season's around the corner. I want you to be able to plan for it accordingly. This is what I got. Mm-hmm. And you can always Quentin Tarantino them. It's like, hey, I said no to seven other leagues.
That's right.
Because I love my family.
That's right.
But I will be busy these four nights. Again, maybe she'll laugh, maybe you'll die, I don't know, but it's worth a shot.
I could have chosen to do 20 best ball drafts. Like, you don't know what best ball is, honey, but tell you what, best ball, I could have done as many of them as I wanted to. I could have put thousands of dollars into best ball drafts, because it's just drafting for fun. Yeah. and you can do it quickly, and I could have just spent all my time on that. I chose not to do that, but I out of my control, I am gonna have drafts on three out of four nights. Mm-hmm. or whatever. Mm-hmm. Yeah. One thing about other leads, you know, you mentioned your Snake Eyes product that you're updating for a friend yesterday. And I realized I don't have any snake drafts. I'm in the three leaves.
They've migrated.
I'm in three leaves and they're all auction drafts now. And so I was updating my own fantasy football draft kit for someone who asked for it this year. And I was like, well, this is nice. I don't need this snake tab of it. I just need the auction tab. So that's a nice revelation.
I'm going to go ahead and just say that that's a result of about, I don't know, about 8 years of podcasting, slowly infiltrating the culture, Pete. Well done. You and I have,
we're manifesting, we're
moving the needle. In lieu of slandering my wife, I will tell you that not only was she supportive of me being gone despite having a 3-month-old, she also in news received that we weren't going to be gone. She said, well, why don't you just go ahead and plan on going golfing on Saturday with your brother-in-law just to make it a day? And I was like,
all right,
I love you.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, that would be happening in the afternoon. So maybe she's trying to kill you with the current the heat and humidity that we have.
I wish
since the draft's at 10 a.m., you can't really get golfing before. Hmm. So you're golfing at 1 p.m. when it's 108? What? 108 feels like 120 probably in Houston.
This is her getting revenge. I see now.
Yeah.
Thank you, Pete.
A little bit of a Trojan horse type of gift. Yep.
Thank you, Pete. Appreciate it. All right. Well,
I give you the gift of a round of golf wrapped in hellfire.
May you enjoy it as much as I'll enjoy you being gone. So draft is at what time on Saturday morning? Just so everybody's clear.
10 a.m.
10 a.m. Central Standard Time.
Central Standard Time.
Do we need to do anything like login or, you know, password recovery? Anything that needs to be done? Can you show up to this thing blind?
Probably. Probably can. But yeah, I mean, everyone should check their system and requirements and make sure they're able to draft and get that done. We'll try to have a Zoom call set up. Hopefully we can get most of the lead on there. Mm-hmm. And that'll be a good time. It'll be even more people together than if we were able to do an in-person draft, because in person we probably only have 4, maybe 5 anyway. So it'll be good, and bring some snacks and bring a drink and we'll be ready to rock and roll.
All right, it is the preseason fantasy football pre-draft episode. Not our favorite episode, but always good to just shake the dust off. Of course, our favorite episode is the post-draft review, where we will be dissecting this Saturday's events, going through play-by-play, the highs, the lows, the tips, the turns, and of course, the ever-coveted grades, as we will cover. It will be next week on TNR. It's the greatest fantasy football league in the world, and this is this podcast. He's Peter Elwood. I'm Seth Martin. Thanks for tuning in. Good night. Good night, KB. Hey, good night.
Shout out, Gibson. First podcast in the books.
Yay, first podcast. You are on your way.